After a little bleach, elbow grease, and spit for shine, I am back on my throne. Step aside and watch the master work.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Hold my beer, bitch.
I will cut you. I will cut you.
Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on digital stream radio. You can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and I am your host.
I thought you got voted off.
I'm here with my two crazy bitches who held the fort down last week, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick. Or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
Welcome you all to
The Dish.
All right. Before we get started, I'd like to let you know that we're welcoming back your favorite house doctor today. Dr. Evan Goldstein will join us for our next installment of Tales from the Tale. That's coming up on the second half of the show. And we have so much that we don't have in our notes that we're going to talk about today. So anyway.
Super prepared.
Nick, thank you, and Chris, thank you for holding the fort down last week. I missed you guys dearly, but I had to go away for a week for work.
To play with electricity.
It was a really good show. We got amazing ratings on iTunes, just saying. The popularity was through the roof. I don't know.
Even the girl I work with was like, that was fabulous. What was different about it this week?
I'm going to cut both of these bitches. I'm just going to slice them wide, long, down,
I'll tell you
east,
one
west,
thing, though.
South, north.
Tom said, we sent over the recording for Tom to process and put up before the end of the night. And he texts us back. He was like, that was really good, guys. And at the end of it, all you can hear that I had to edit out was Trish go,
oh. You're like, I did it.
Oh, thank God.
It's a lot when you haven't done it before. I mean, there's like, I mean... There's a lot of buttons you got to push.
Do you have a new appreciation for what I do behind this chair?
No, but...
Yes.
I'm done.
I think my favorite part, though, was when I was muting the mic, and I was like, I'm going to mute Chris, like...
That was good.
I was wondering what that was. I was like, oh my God, we have a little short circuit on the board. I think I better fix that.
No, I was really proud of Trish. And like that was a lot for her to have to learn in one crash course. Like,
oh, I provided a video. Not that she watched it or
no,
anything.
No, she didn't watch it. But I'll tell you, doing a pre-recording and a guest, having a guest host, I was like, oh, there's a lot going on today.
No, but you know, and then she sends me a screenshot. It's like, okay, what is this? What is this yellow thing? Why is it here? I'm like, you got to get rid of that. It's a loop thing on the video, but it was fun. You know what? And you guys had Meg on the show. She was amazing.
She's great.
She did a great job.
I loved her. I wish I could have been here to sit with her and you guys on the table.
I think she wants to come back.
Yeah, she's definitely going to come back. We should have her to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So so let's talk about your weekends. Let's talk about what you guys did because I was gone for a whole week. So why don't we start off with Christopher this time so we don't leave him out.
Like usual.
Yeah.
Just saying.
We all know what he did this weekend. He went to Long Island.
Oh,
yeah, I did Saturday night.
Next.
I worked. That's it. I went to... No, really. I worked Saturday night. I picked up an extra shift, and I got my ass handed to me.
But
I was just like fucking crazy busy. I hadn't worked on a Saturday in a long time.
You got your ass handed to you?
My ass handed to me 2 times. Yeah, it was just busy, and then I drove to Long Island at like midnight and got there at like 2 a.m, and just it was a very relaxing weekend.
That's good.
Yeah.
And how is Bobby?
Bobby's always good as always.
Hi, Bobby, if you're listening.
Yes, hi, Bobby. No, we just relaxed, and I'm just, you know, super busy for the end of the semester, so that's my weekend. Nothing too exciting to talk about.
School starts up for me April 30th, I think.
But are you done already?
Huh?
Are you done?
Well, remember, my modules online are 8 weeks long, so...
Oh, I didn't realize you were done with your World... You did World Civ, right?
Yeah, World Civ. That's done. I got a 100. That's in the bag.
Yay.
I keep my 3.96 GPA.
There you go. Good for you.
Because I'm a professor. Let them try. Let them try. That's all I got to say. But you know, I love it. It's an experience, and it's something that I'm ready for now that I wasn't ready when I was younger. So, Nick, how was your weekend?
It was interesting.
Interesting in what sense?
You know, I don't... not necessarily need to talk about it, but what I do want to talk about is self-deprecation.
Okay.
I am sick and tired of gay men being so negative about, one, our culture, and two, being gay. I'm so sick and tired of men not loving themselves for being gay and not seeing that being gay is, I think it's a blessing to be a gay man. And I am so sick and tired of hearing people say, I wish I could be normal. You are normal. People need to stop being so self-deprecating. And it's making me crazy because I recently had to deal with a certain amount of people in my life that have said things like, I can't come out because, you know, people wouldn't accept me, or I don't like who I am because I'm not normal. I wish my life could be normal. Your life is normal. Your life is the life that you choose. And until you embrace yourself and embrace the culture, you'll never understand the culture and you'll never grow and you'll never learn to love yourself. You need to learn to love yourself and stop being self-deprecating, because what you're doing is you're ruining your life and you're bringing negativity to everybody that surrounds you. Personally, that's what I want to talk about this morning. This afternoon.
Okay.
This evening.
I'm going to Michael's. And I'm going to go buy me a little box and a whole bunch of little soaps and just like glue them on and be like, that's Trisha's soapbox.
But do you know what I'm saying?
I understand what you mean, but you got to understand, baby girl, that, you know, the journey for everyone is different.
That is completely fine.
And, you know, it's hard to come to terms with who you are. We've all had to go through that. I just wish that a lot more people go through it when they're younger and learn to develop and to love themselves a lot younger, because mm-hmm. then it just lets them live a really, really full life. Okay. You know, one of the worst things you can do is go through your entire life living a lie. Mm-hmm. And then end up being a middle-aged homosexual that trying to find love. And it's so hard for someone to try to find love when you don't have a six pack and, you know, and good looks, and that fades.
Well, and it's not even just about living a lie or not coming out. Yes, that's part of it. And to each person, it's a different scenario that I understand. But I had a conversation with somebody this weekend, and it made me, I was infuriated by the conversation, because they said that they wish that they could just be normal, because every gay man is either a drunk, addicted to drugs, a slut, and he just like went down this list. And I'm like, first of all, if you don't love yourself for being a gay man, you'll never embrace the culture. And the fact that people do, there is a higher percentage of drug and alcohol abuse and more sexual promiscuity in our culture, but those all stem from the broken foundation that we always talk about on the show. We're never given a proper foundation as a kid growing up as a gay human being. We're not given the proper support and foundation. So people turn to drugs and alcohol, and if you could understand that, then maybe you would learn to love that person just a little bit more and support them a little bit more, because maybe it's not about the fact that they have an alcohol problem, or they do have an alcohol problem or a drug problem or whatever it is. Maybe it's because they were never really treated the right way growing up, and they are a little bit broken.
Mm-hmm. I think that for the most part, I think we're all broken in some sense, whether
Absolutely.
You're straight, gay, green, blue. You know, we each have our battles that we need to fight and our path that we need to follow, and hopefully a discovery that we need to make of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was definitely the word normal that triggered you, because it's like something to keep philosophers thinking forever. What does it mean to be normal? And in any sense, we're all fucked up in our own certain ways.
That's an oxymoron, because
it's almost like saying you're perfect. Like no one is normal or no one is perfect. We all have, I know, Trish, you're somewhat perfect-ish.
My normal is completely different than Nick's normal and Chris's normal.
Right. Our normal is by the individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's something that, you know, you give value, you have to give self-value to the word normal, because...
Well, you know. Yeah, I mean, and it's, again, like that word, like you said, to each their own, it's your own definition, but society also puts a definition
of
on
course.
What normal is,
mm-hmm. right.
And that's the definition we're raised with. And my soapbox will end today saying just a couple of things. First, every single LGBTQ member of our culture, you are normal and you are perfect and you have something important to give and you are special in your own way. And you will one day find that, and you need to, and you will embrace that, and you will grow, and it will be beautiful. You will blossom. Second, there is this amazing TED Talk, and I've talked about it on the show, that there's a father and his son is gay. His son was the first born, and he's born gay. But his philosophy is that the last son in the family usually becomes a gay male, because the family in older times, you know, tribal times, needed to embrace a culture in which there was more love. So that last child was born gay so that they could create a more loving and caring environment. Plus, that person wouldn't create more mouths for the clan to feed. So in a way, we were genetically created to help support families and create an environment of love.
And ironically, that's the very nucleus that sort of kind of shuns most of the members of our community early on in their path to to self-discovery.
So his son is firstborn in the TED Talk, and the reason he gives for his son being gay is because when his mother was pregnant, she had cancer. And so she had to go through, in the later months of the pregnancy, she had to go through intensive radiation therapy. And so when her body was under attack, she released hormones because she needed care and she needed support and she needed love and she was scared. So her body was releasing these hormones that genetically modified her son to become the supporter and the love that she was looking for in that moment.
And did he?
Yes.
That's awesome.
And he supports the entire family. But the point is that I'm trying to get to is we have to stop thinking of normal or not normal and just know that we were created and put here for a reason. And it's a beautiful reason. And that's why I think it's a blessing to be gay, because I know that we all have a higher emotional intelligence. And I know that we bring something so important and perfect and beautiful to this world.
That's beautiful.
And now I step off my soapbox.
All right.
Watch your step, girl.
Boxes closed.
She
didn't make it.
She fell.
Well, I'll talk about a little bit about my weekend. I got home from Maine on Friday. I stayed in. You know, I had some stuff. I washed some clothes and stuff. Saturday, I did absolutely nothing. Just sit in front of my TV and rewatch episodes of Game of Thrones. Because I have to wait until April of goddamn freaking 2019 for the show to come back.
I know.
Yeah, it's just devastating news. And aside from that, I, you know, spent some time with my pups, who I had not seen in a week. And then I worked. I worked Saturday night at the bar. I bartended. And then Sunday night, we did karaoke, as usual. And that was pretty much it, you know? And speaking of bars, why don't we just jump into our cocktail, Mr. Christopher? I'll let you tell the good listeners what we're drinking today.
Surely. This was Tom's choice, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. So we had Tom very much enjoys his tequila.
I do.
So do I.
And so does Trish. So we went with a rum drink. No, I'm just kidding. No. So today we're doing, it's simple drink, but it's really tasty. It's called the Patron Pineapple. It consists of 1 ounce, give or take.
I did three.
3 ounces. There you go. Patron Silver Tequila, 1/4 ounce Patron Citron Orange Liqueur, 8 ounces. Come on. Eight ounces of fresh pineapple juice to 1 ounce tequila?
No.
I don't think so.
Not happening. Not in this studio.
Yeah, don't follow those numbers. Fresh squeezed pineapple juice, or enough just to top off the glass, and then the juice from 1 lime. Mix all those ingredients together, shake it up. Anything with pineapple, you want to shake it, get it nice and frothy. That's right! Thank you. You got to have a frothy beverage.
I did shake today, right?
Shake, shake, she did shake.
That a girl.
Shake your body like that.
That's right, exactly. And they're delicious, and they're actually nutritious. They fight scurvy. And it's a, you know, it's a great way to stay in shape. So
she came back from Long Island.
I love the fact that every week now it's something about our alcoholic beverage that fights some type of ailment.
Hey, listen, we've got to find the positive in
Optimism is key. Optimism is key.
We do. It's like incredible. Mm-hmm. So, Yo, there is a lot of stuff happening. Yo. Seriously.
Don't yo me unless you know me.
Yo, yo, yo. I do know you. I just don't get on my knees for it. Anyway, before we get started, here's a message from one of our sponsors. We'll be right back. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Innovative Heating and Cooling, LLC, a Connecticut-based business servicing the greater New England tri-state area. From maintenance and repairs to replacements, conversions, and even new installs, Innovative Heating and Cooling provides professional top-quality work for both commercial and residential customers. Call our friends Garrett and Kyle today and schedule your free in-home estimate by calling 203-283-7272. You can follow them on Facebook at Innovative Heating and Cooling. Now back to the show. All right, welcome back. Anyway, so there's so much happening. There's so much that's happened in the past hour, and I am super, like, really into this story. So the New York Times, as well as many top, you know,
news outlets,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Have reported that the FBI has officially raided the office of Trump's longtime lawyer, Michael Cohen. So basically, the FBI raided the office and hotel room of President Trump's longtime personal lawyer on Monday, seizing business records, emails, and documents related to several topics, including payments to the pornographic film actress Stormy Daniels. The prosecutor obtained a search warrant after receiving a referral from none other than Robert Mueller. According to Mr. Cohen's lawyer, who called the search completely inappropriate and unnecessary, the search does not appear to be directly related to Mr. Mueller's investigation, but most likely resulted from the information that he had uncovered that he gave to the prosecutors in New York. The search warrant was served from the Southern District, New York U.S. State Attorney's Office, which basically covers New York City and most of the Southern District, including Trump Tower and anything that would have to be related to Michael Cohen and Donald Trump, being that he's based out of New York. So shit is about to happen. I mean, and I don't mean like, you know, he's going to get like impeached tomorrow, but it just goes to show you that they're getting closer and closer to finding things that are going to bring to light what this man and his goons are doing and what they're trying to hide. And I think it's just freaking amazing that it's about time that we see something, that we see some sort of form of law enforcement go and do what they have to do. Go get these documents, go get these records, and get down to the bottom of what happened in 2016.
But it's still not going to, I mean, you're not, it's still a long way away, because you're going to have all these trials going on, and it's going to be a whole lot of people stating their Fifth Amendment rights to not answer questions, and it's just going to be going on and on and on and on like that.
And that's fine, but here's the thing.
Tally it up.
Thanks, babe.
Yes.
The thing that I see is that, you know, for the last, I would say, 4 or 5 weeks, maybe a little bit over 2 months, we've been very complacent at the fact that nothing's been happening, and nothing had been happening. You know, all you get is all these reports on CNN and Fox News and blah, blah, blah. And one network says, oh, this is, we got you. The other networks, you ain't got nothing. You know, this is just, you're jumping up the fox's hole and blah, blah, blah. And the thing is that now you're starting to see substantial things take place. Warrants are being issued. Documents are being seized. You know, action is actually taking place, right, rather than just rhetoric on national media.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think that, you know, it's about time. We need to get down to the bottom of what happened. I don't know what happened. I can only speculate. Do I want the man impeached? Abso-fucking-lutely. I mean, I want it done tomorrow, but I know that's not going to happen.
We do know that, as of now, the president of the United States is not being investigated criminally. He personally is not being investigated criminally. But a lot of these goons, like you said, are, you know, it's starting to get somewhere. Things are starting to surface.
There's no way he shouldn't be investigated criminally. He's had to have known what was going on.
Well, as of right
to
now,
to prove collusion, yeah, is going to be
very hard.
Incredibly difficult.
You know, one of the best things that could happen right now,
I'll fucking prove it. I don't give a shit.
Get on it, Trish. One of the best things that could happen right now is if you are of age to vote, or you're about to become of age to vote for this midterm election, make sure that you register to vote and do so, and get out there and vote.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only way that we're going to get any substantial movement from what we have now, which is basically a Republican-controlled House and Senate, is to vote people into office that are going to push for an investigation that will get down to the bottom of what's going on. Not only that, we need to give control of the House, right? The House of Representatives is the most important part of this whole thing because they're the only ones that can bring articles of impeachment against a president.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we give control of the House to the party that wants to proactively go and follow that investigation and go through with it, then that would be the Democratic Party. And if you want this to happen, you need to make sure that you get out and vote. Because if we don't gain control of the House, this man will sit in office potentially for an additional 6 years on top of the 1.5 years that he's already served. Because we do know that the last 6 months is just lame duck.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see if the Democrats can do it. People need to get out there and vote.
So, you know, I'm excited to see things like this happening. I want to see more. I want to see these people locked up already. You know, Manafort, he needs to be locked up. And he's indicted. Get him in front of a freaking, you know, judge and just say, boom, you're done. Goodbye. 6 years. Get off. Goodbye. And these people need to go. But anyway.
Time will tell.
I was excited to read that an hour ago. I was just like, yes.
So yes. My mom texted me earlier today about this whole situation. She screenshotted it, which I was like, oh my God, my mom knows how to screenshot. Proud of her. And she sent it to me and she's like, and now this, what the fuck? And I looked at it and I read it and I'm like, I was like, oh shit. And I was like, this just made my fucking day. It just like, it's like, okay.
Is it true?
It's happening. No. And then she followed that up with, also, I think Melania left Trump. I'm not sure, but I think I saw it on the news last night. And I was like, what? Okay. And then I'm trying to find it, but can't find it anywhere. So you heard it first here. Melania left Trump. Maybe. Question.
I heard that rumor like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago as well.
Well, I guess Trump said something on March 4th about it.
Well,
Melania, the next person to leave the White House is something like he was joking about it.
Melania, whatever. Melania. If you're listening, remember what Ivana Trump said so eloquently in the movie. What was that movie with Bette Midler and Diane
Beaches.
Keaton? No, Bette Midler, Diane Keaton.
First Wives Club.
First Wives Club. She said, remember, don't get mad. Get everything. Take it all, baby. Take that man for everything he's worth. He's put you through hell.
Did you see the pin that Trump... No, was it Eric Trump or Trump Jr.?
Fucked them both.
He wore to the egg roll for Easter at the White House.
What was it?
It was a pin that
Krumpus.
It was the basket, and it says deplorables on it. Like that was, you know, the basket of deplorables.
So he's calling all the Easter egg hunters on the White
House. Well, he was wearing the pin, but I guess a lot of people liked it. They're like, where can we buy them?
He was self-identifying. That's amazing.
They made those after Hillary Clinton made that comment.
I think that every deplorable out there should buy one.
It was Trump Jr.
And then donate it to charity.
Oh, fuck.
So that we can learn to identify who you are. That would be amazing. Anyway, Chris?
Yeah.
You want to jump into your story? Because I know we have Dr. Evan Goldstein coming on in the next half of the show, right after our break.
Yeah.
Like should we take it now, or what do you want to do?
I can throw in this story.
All right, do it.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
We can go ahead and throw some good news out there. This past Wednesday, April 4th, the Maryland House of Delegates passed a bill banning conversion therapy on minors by a 95-27 vote.
Yes!
That's right. This was following the state Senate approval from the week prior. Governor Larry Hoggins is expected to sign the new bill into law, making Maryland the 11th state following Connecticut, California, Nevada, New Jersey, Oregon, Illinois, Vermont, New York, New Mexico, Rhode Island, and recently Washington State to outlaw the vile and repugnant discredited acts of attempting to torture the gay away. Violators of this would face discipline from state licensing boards.
Unless you're Waffle House kid.
Exactly.
Well, this is for conversion therapy.
No, I know. I know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, that bitch. The District of Columbia, and this is interesting to know, the District of Columbia and other cities and counties have implemented their own such bans, just not at a state level, with Milwaukee just last month becoming the largest city to do so. And I was reading on The Advocate, this was reported by Trudy Ring, And I just wanted to read this quick quote. It was before the House vote, Delegate Megan Simonaire, a Republican, spoke out in favor of the bill by telling her story of a young, telling the story of a young woman who is attracted to both men and women, and that after some, I can't even read that right now.
After some,
oh, it's trepidation. I don't have my glasses on. After some trepidation, she finally broached the subject to her parents. They were, quote, heartbroken and disgusted and recommended conversion therapy. She then revealed that she was this woman. So she was a Republican delegate from the House of Delegates in Maryland who was saying she supported this. And her father, who is also a delegate, opposed the bill in the vote, which, like I said, was 95-27 vote. And on April 7th, she also reported, Trudy Ring on The Advocate said that California is considering expanding its law to classify conversion therapy, even for adults, as consumer fraud. So it's going to bring it beyond the fact of just youth to actually outlaw it across all lines.
That would be amazing.
And it said an assembly committee approved the bill this week, but it has more hearings and votes to go through. So
and
some time to come.
Being a state like California, I'm sure that, you know, it'll get passed. Because, you know, California is usually always at the forefront of many things that sort of kind of lay the groundwork for the rest of the country.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but they also have...
It's the world's fifth largest economy. So, I mean,
but they also... They also had that one bill that was sponsored for executing all gays. Someone was sponsoring it to, like, shoot all the gays in the back of the head. So California puts out some interesting folk.
Yeah,
to say the very least.
Don't get me wrong. Every state has their you know, those deplorables. There's... But, you know, it is what it is.
Plenty in this state.
All right. So listen, we're going to take a break. We've got some music. And when we come back, Dr. Evan Goldstein for Tales from the Tale.
My head gets caught in the moment, but my heart doesn't know it. Heart doesn't know it. Somehow I'm lost in the lonely, but it's too hard to show it. Too hard to show it. Danse avec moi. Danse avec moi. Danse avec moi. Do I fall? You are the one to make me think twice, and you are the one I wanna spend my life with.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That was Dance With Me by Davis Mallory. He's going to be our guest next week here on the show. And now with us one more time for our segment Tales from the Tale, and his, of course, is Dr. Evan Goldstein. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. How are you guys?
We're doing wonderful. So this is a sight for sore eyes. He's dressed in his doctor's garb over here. He looks very sexy and beautiful. So welcome back.
Thanks so much. How you guys been?
We've been well, you know, running around, being the crazy messes that we are.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, no, you're the biggest mess we know.
I was going to say that, but I guess I don't know you that well.
Oh, my God. Dr. G, really? Oh, he'll know you well enough when you go visit the practice, you know, and get the whole thing fixed.
Well, I can see his degree, so I can verify that he really is a doctor. I can see them right now.
So,
falsified paperwork.
Fake news.
So we're back once again for Tales from the Tale. And, you know, if our listeners are just tuning in for the first time, Dr. Goldstein has agreed to come on the show every month and talk about the experiences of one of his patients, names not included, and sort of kind of give us insight on what goes on, you know, in the practice and outside of the practice. So what are we talking about this week?
Did you guys read it or no?
I'm going to be honest right now. I've been slammed. I have not.
Which is why she needs to see you.
I read the first half and then I did not get to the second half. So I'm a failure. I know.
It's all good.
I was going to ask, why don't you tell us what the first half is? But no, we'll let him tell us.
It's about getting something stuck where it shouldn't be stuck. Correct.
I think there's a little bit of that, yes. I think it comes at a lot of interesting, a lot of different interesting points here. So, you know, a top meets the man of his dreams, but his new boyfriend, his new man is actually a top himself. And so now it opens up a world where how do you start to engage and learn how to bottom in a world that doesn't educate people the right way to engage? And so one of his friends said, oh, you should see Evan, you know, go see Dr. Goldstein. He'll walk you through the process of learning to become a bottom.
So what I'm hearing is they always say two bottoms can't make a top, or two tops can't make a bottom.
Two
but
tops
that's
don't
not
make it
necessarily
wrong.
True if you see Dr. G.
That's right.
Not bad, dude.
Exactly. So, you know, it actually turned out that the reason why this person was more of a top was because he had hemorrhoids and some issues with some mild tearing where it caused him to have pain and discomfort when he was bottoming. So he would try it in the past, but then it was never successful and it was quite painful. So what wound up happening was that when I saw him, he really needed a surgery in order to kind of get him corrected so that he could actually bottom.
That's fantastic. So you go through the process, and as we've discussed before, there's a healing part that comes to having a procedure done.
Correct. So we got him through the surgery. He did the healing process, and during this process, they use a lot of butt plugs and toys to kind of stretch and get themselves ready to engage the way that they, you know, where they want to go with it.
Random question: Is there a medical term for butt plug?
Yeah, you can call it like an anal dilator.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
We know.
An anal dilator.
He doesn't care what terminology it is.
It's going in there either way.
You can call it a finger. He'll do it.
So what wound up happening is that as he was learning to bottom, he really started to love toys. And started to play. And him and his partner were engaging in toys. And I guess his partner was away one time, and he was playing, and he's getting off, and he named his toy Jack. I don't know. It was just his name. And then all of a sudden, he's orgasm, he's coming, and Jack is gone.
Oh, God. Oh, no, it ate it.
It went down with the ship.
And so he's looking all around for Jack. You know, is he on the floor? Is he by the pillowcases? Is he on the sheets? And no, Jack is nowhere to be found. And so then it becomes like this, you know, fuck, going crazy, starting to sweat, realizing that Jack is inside him.
Oh, my God.
And then now he calls me, comes to the office, and I'm able to feel it. I'm able to pull it out successfully. And there's no trauma associated with it. So
stop.
Did you like pull that out of his mouth? Like, how did you get it?
Stop. Wait, for a second in the name of love.
Hold on. I just want to read a quote. Within no time, using proper yoga breathing, and of course, Dr. Goldstein's hands and instruments, Jack was set free.
So now we already know that he developed this liking to toys, God, or to anal dilators or right, butt plugs. So now he comes to see you, and he's already, you know, we already know that he gets, you know, off on using toys. What is it like to like go in there, and does he get aroused?
No, he's in pain, a little bit of pain, because what happens is that it's a little swollen, it's a little bit irritated, it doesn't love it. It's not, especially if it's in there for a long time.
So that being said, so he just went through this whole process, he had surgery, he went through the healing process, he is bottoming full force going forward, he's having a great time. Now Jack is inside of him, and you have to take Jack out of him. Did that cause any damage to him other than the light swelling or whatever you were just talking about?
And the emotional ramifications of Jack inside you.
Yeah, right? Jack gone forever.
Jack's gone forever.
Jack, I thought he went down with that damn board in the ocean.
I'll never let go, Jack.
That bitch should have moved.
Never let go.
There was plenty of room.
He literally wouldn't let go of Jack. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh, okay. Back to my question.
You can't even ask your question anymore. You guys are crying.
Oh, Jack. So did Jack getting lost inside of this gentleman, him never letting go of Jack, cause any damage after the fact that you had to follow up with any procedures?
Is there a pause button on this podcast?
No, because we're streaming live.
Okay.
So here, I think, you know, it really depends on what you're putting up there.
Jack.
Jack was smooth. Jack was really, really easy to take. So it went in, and when it came out, it didn't cause any damage. But I have seen others where there's jagged edges, it's like irregularities, and those can definitely cause trauma. The thing is that when you're using toys and plugs, I really feel like there should be a mandate that they put like that rope that's put on for tampons at the end of every plug, so that just in case, you know, you lose it, that you're able to kind of...
Jack. Oh, wait. There it is.
Why can't they put a stopper, like make the base
or
of
the
your
ball
toy
sack?
Why do? Some of them do, for sure. Yeah,
the ball sack or something like that.
Yeah, well, some people are hungry.
I mean,
clearly.
It also depends on the person. Sometimes it's just like...
Yeah, there and the suction, there exactly. She is. And the device, the way that the kind of the anal rectal canal works is that, you know, the suction device, and especially if you're ejaculating, you know, you're squeezing all your muscles, it just can go the wrong way.
Right.
So
hold on. So this gentleman had a chronic anal tear, correct?
He had a tear with a hemorrhoid and a tag.
Okay. So how... If he does engage after, you know, going through all of the process with you, is there a possibility of that happening again? Or is once the surgery's done, you're pretty secure in your anal cavity?
No, it can definitely happen again. Okay. It can definitely happen again. I think that, you know, a lot of it is proper techniques to engage. So moving forward, it's looking at why did that happen in the beginning and how do you work towards it not happening again? But you have to remember, scar tissue can tear. So that's why using butt plugs and using toys after surgery really strengthens the scar so that it doesn't happen again. Mm-hmm. But it's understanding, you know, again, it's bottoming. Injury is going to happen. It's just right. A matter of how do you minimize it and how do you understand your limitations at that point so that you don't cause more damage than what's going on?
I want to go back to Jack for a minute. So, yeah. And this is a serious question. Okay. So now, you know, he comes into the office, he's got Jack inside him, and what's your process? What do you go through to prep him to get Jack out?
Oh, so before we step, go into that, before I step onto Jack, the key is that people get freaked out and they try to manipulate the butt plug themselves at home. So they're like, oh, I could feel it. I can get it. But each time they go in there with their fingers or hand or whatever it is, they push it up further and further away. Okay. So the key is, like, if something's really stuck, to not freak out, to try and relax and see if you can kind of, like, you know, gradually yoga it out yourself, right? Namaste, really trying to see if you can relax. But the reality is that a lot of people can't because it's a situation they freak out on that.
Right.
But do not manipulate it yourself. So don't stick anything up there. Don't put your fingers up there yourself, because each time you do that, it's going to go higher and higher to the point where I can't remove it in the office. Jack is lost beyond. Then you have to go to the operating room and cut open the belly to get Jack out. That's a serious thing.
So basically, be Jack and stay, like, don't be Jack and stay on the door.
There you go.
Don't let Rose, like, manipulate the whole space. Just, you know, just stay on the door.
So I got two questions for this.
Yeah, do it up.
Was Jack returned?
Of course.
Oh, so I feel like I would not be able to use Jack again.
Oh, no, he's all about it. He's like, we washed it off. He's ready to go.
Absolutely. Now, Jack is back.
All right. Now, the second question, if this person is in mid orgasm, should his partner be worried about getting sucked up in there too? Because it seems like there's some suction force there.
There is a lot of suction force.
All right. I'm sorry. I didn't keep it serious. So I couldn't help it.
I have to read another quote. I cleaned Jack off and proceeded to put him in the drawer for a while. Don't worry, it didn't last long. How can one stay mad at Jack?
Rose did, and she loved him for all his life.
But what it did, this whole scenario kind of really made us think about toys in general, because of kind of where the states are and people's acceptance of toys. And actually, we ran a really cool campaign that looked at, like, the Google shopping and analyzed in what states are people buying toys and what are those toys, to kind of give an understanding of how much interest is in it, what types of toys. And it really looked at dildos, vibrators, bondage gear, butt plugs, just because we were curious to see what the deal was. And, you know, it's kind of interesting when you look at dildos and vibrators are definitely at the top of everybody's list across the country. But people are willing to really kind of try something out of their comfort zone. I looked at specifically to where my practice is. You know, I have a New York practice and an LA office. So I said, what do people look for in New York? What do they buy in New York versus LA? And it was quite interesting. So, like, New York's top choice was cock rings. Okay. And LA was the ball gags.
Interesting.
Ball gags, is that the one that, like, wrap around the balls?
No, the one that, like,
yeah, your mouth.
In your mouth.
Is it your face? Oh. Is it your mouth?
Can I get one of those?
He uses it.
So, speaking of, sorry, do you have more on that?
Oh, well, so I was just going to say that it was just interesting to think about per state, you know, why people order certain things. Like in New York, one of the things was, oh, if everybody's using their top was cock rings, it's more of kind of self pleasure, you know, like I, you know, that's a typical New Yorker, which is, I don't give a fuck about you.
It's all about me.
But don't cock rings also help with men staying hard?
They could, but I was just being, you know, just looking at myself.
Sorry.
So go ahead. And then you said,
LA was the, you know, more laid back kind of chill out, that in public, they're like, oh, everything's all hunky dory. But then in the room, it's all like, you know, put a gag in someone's mouth and, like, start going crazy on them. So it was just interesting of tying kind of people's understanding of toys and the new acceptance of it into the sex world, into their own bedroom, and how it parlays kind of per each state. And you can see, if you go on to kind of our website in the campaign section, you can kind of read a lot more about the toy component of it.
So now a question for you, hypothetically. Yeah. What kind of person is Dr. Evan Goldstein? A Cochrane type of person or a ball gag type of person?
Unfortunately, I'm quite vanilla, basically.
Okay. He's seen a lot.
I may be a mess, but I'm vanilla too.
I'm an ass man. That's basically it.
Well, that we've gathered as much.
So since we're on the topic of toys, butt plugs, dildos, and all of this stuff, if I'm a first-time buyer, what would you suggest as either a brand or the type that I should look for when I'm actually going to shop for these things so that I don't lose Jack?
Girl, start small. Don't get hungry.
Oh, I don't.
Well, small seems to be like the problem. Well, maybe not, but I mean, small things kind of seem like those get stuck up there.
They could. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think, again, looking at ones that definitely have a stopper at the end, that creates a little bit more of a barrier so that you're not putting the entire thing in and engulfing it.
That's easy to do right here.
Yes, yeah, I get it.
Jesus, but, guys.
But with that being said, Doc Johnson has a kit. Many of the pleasure chests, they all kind of have like an anal trainer kit that creates, it's like a cone. Just really offsets and allows the muscles to slowly engage and to slowly relax.
Okay.
Interesting.
So I think we need to get a kit for the studio and just sort of kind of explore it.
I don't think so.
Not in the
studio. No. Not for us to like use it, but for to look at it and touch it. And
actually, just... I have one inside me right now.
Okay. So Dr. Goldstein, tell us, what's in your kit?
Wasn't there a movie where someone's like forced to like hold an enema until she plays the rest of the piano song? He's trying to hold this thing in until we get through the interview. Testing those muscles. Doctor.
No, I think you should do, they have the butt plugs that have the Wi-Fi Bluetooth capability where you could buzz. I think we should put it in him.
We need to take his phone away if we did that.
And then what we could do is just like, just really see what's going on with it.
We'll wait for her to be nice and calm at her desk at work and just...
No, what's going to happen is I'm going to go there. He's going to give me a surgery. He's going to implant one of these inside of me. And every time we're live, he's just going to press the button. I'm going to be like, oh my God, guys, this is great. I don't know what it is about this show, but I get so excited.
I'm uncomfortable.
Okay, so I want to go back. So let's go back to Jack because I think I want that question answered. So walk me through the process of getting Jack out.
Oh, yes. Okay, so a couple of things with it. One is that you have to really get them to be truly relaxed. Sometimes you can actually feel the butt plug or the toy in their abdomen, so in their belly, because it's that high. So what you can do is kind of like, as they're relaxing, push on the belly, and my fingers are in their ass, so I'm able to feel the tip of it. So what I can do is, like, as I'm pushing the belly, I'm grabbing more of the base, and then I can just pull the
pop. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh, the way he did that made me a little nervous.
I know!
You sure you still want to go see him?
With a lot of anesthesia.
He's like, yes.
So you don't necessarily need anesthesia, though. A lot of times you do, you're right. Because they're so nervous, and sometimes the swelling causes it to be painful. Then sometimes you need, but once I put them under anesthesia, it'll just kind of flop right out.
That's what I would imagine. I don't think I'd be able to, relax myself. I'd be so nervous at that point.
I would. Have you seen those fingers?
Oh my God.
You'd relax. Are you kidding
me? My legs will be back here. I will become a contortionist some way, shape, or form. Trust me.
There are people that can do that on the dime, I'll tell you. On the dime. It's unbelievable.
So we know that they're kits that people can buy to sort of kind of coach them into learning how to use these toys, etc. Is there a specific brand that you prefer? Do you sell any at your establishment?
I don't. I mean, I think it really depends upon which types people really subscribe to. So there are some that are silicone, there are some that are rubber, there's some that are glass. It really just depends upon what people want.
Ooh, I'd hate- I'd hate to get a glass one stuck inside.
Yeah,
me.
No, I would never use glass. That sounds terrifying.
And, they're smooth glass, thank you very much, or ceramic or something like that.
Can clean it off really well.
Yes.
Just put some Windex on it.
Yeah, but those, like the ceramics and the glasses, you could actually heat up, and it like causes a little bit more of a nice warm orgasm, so it could be quite interesting. So don't knock it until you try it, all right?
Yeah, Christopher.
Heard, doctor. Heard.
So what I'm taking away right now is that Rose really never let go of Jack.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Goldstein likes to use butt plugs while he's on air with us. And that Tommy likes his fingers. But that being said, I have one question that's kind of off topic for you, because we're talking about butt plugs and we're talking about dilation and all that stuff. Yeah. So I always like jokingly tell people that I'm like doing my Kegels.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Totally.
So we can totally strengthen our assholes by just kind of like doing what I'm doing right now.
I've been doing it for the past half hour.
Did you know that tomorrow on a blog post that I'm writing, it's all about the loose ass. And so you guys will have to read it. It's a good segue into kind of.
You see how her ears perked up, right?
I saw him just give you the finger, actually. But you're absolutely right. So tomorrow, read in it, you know, medium.com, Dr. Goldstein, Evan Goldstein, click on it. You'll, you know, read about it. And it really goes over, yes, you're right. You can definitely do a lot of good exercising to combat that looseness that we all don't want. Mm-hmm. And so with that, either Kegel exercises where you can squeeze the anus, you know, just yourself, you know, as you're just sitting there right now, or a lot of people even putting in a butt plug while the butt plug is in, instead of just using it to relax, also contract around it. Strengthen the muscles that are there.
But when only if it's got a base, because otherwise, bye, Jack. Yes.
Or a string, yes, that you could just pull Jack.
Or tie an anchor to it or something, yes. Something with weight.
And then you would go down like the heart of the ocean, straight to the bottom.
Oh my.
Straight to the bottom, exactly. I'll be there, actually.
He'll be waiting. I've got you, baby. I've got you. Oh, my God. Is it going to be this fun every single month? I swear, this is amazing.
I think it will, but you know what? I just want to make sure that it is a serious topic. And even though we're joking and poking fun, I think when you list the listeners that are out there, you know, obviously we're all unprofessional. I don't know about these three characters. But with that said, we're here to poke fun, but we're also here to kind of learn and talk about all the issues and bring the science back into it to make sure that we're all engaging the way that we want to and for the longevity that we wish.
Yeah. And I think it's also important that we poke fun at it and have fun with these topics, because like we talked about the last time you were on, I mean, these things can be like embarrassing to people, and then they could do those things where they just try to get it out themselves and stress themselves out, and then they have to get surgery. Don't feel embarrassed. It is a little embarrassing, but it's also like something that happens, and it's okay.
Right.
Well,
right.
I'll tell you something right now. I mean, if that were to ever happen to me, given our interactions, even over Skype and through our show, I would feel comfortable because I
would
know
email
that
Kristen right away.
I was like, Kristen, you need to book me Dr. Evan Goldstein. I'm on the next train over. It's going to be a 2-hour, like, pleasurable and crazy ride, but I will be there.
So, Kristen, if we ever email you and it says, Rose wouldn't let go, get us in the office.
There's
right
the
away.
Is it really called Rose?
No, I'm just saying Jack and Rose. Yeah. From Titanic.
Rose hogged that door all by herself.
Rose wouldn't let go of Jack.
I never let go. No, but so I don't even know where to go. Where to go from that. Oh, God. This is amazing.
So I guess, like, before we wrap it up with you, do you want to plug those toys again for our listeners that you would recommend for people, that kit?
Yeah, they're all over. But Doc Johnson has a great kit. Anal trainer kits, they're 3 to 4 sizes. You can pick different colors and all that jazz, whatever you want. But again, it's gradual from one dilator to the next. It's not too progressive. It should be soft and easy and a little bit flexible and just kind of get you through the stages of where you need to be. And again, you know, I always tell people, you can't go from nothing to cock. things are going to happen. It's going to tear. So you have to gradually get yourself to where you need to be. And then I also think from a plug perspective is if you're going through dry months where you're not bottoming and you're kind of, you know, doing other things, the reality is you should be using the butt plugs at least once or twice a week, just for a couple of minutes. Because again, it's a muscle that you either use it or you lose it. And the reality is, especially if you want to engage the way that you want to, and you want it to be ready whenever you want to, then you have to kind of train it and keep it, active so that you don't have issues down the road.
Okay. And let's say, for example, very quickly before we move forward, let's say you have someone who's a bottom and he wants to train himself, wants to use the butt plugs, to make sure that he's ready for his top, but sure. His top has an issue with it. What do you say to that? How do you go from being someone who wants to be ready for their partner and their partner really doesn't understand what it takes to be able to take what he's willing to give you?
I think you have to be reasonable with what you're accepting. Especially, I see a lot of young kids that have smaller pelvises and they want to take like huge things. And it's just like, you know, there is a capacity to what you're able to take. You know, you have to kind of like understand what that capacity is. So I hope through conversations like this and us talking about it, that people look at it and say, oh, I may not be able to take that as of right now. But I think, you know, it doesn't have to be where you have to bring the toys into your sex play with your partner. If the partner is against kind of toys, you could either do it while you're preparing yourself before. So if you're douching and you're cleaning yourself out and you're kind of taking a shower, you can use the plugs at that time to get yourself kind of pre-lubricated and already kind of dilated. Also, it could be if you're doing the day before, a couple of days, or if you're in a routine of doing it once or twice a week, then it can kind of gradually get yourself there. I think people underestimate foreplay, you know, especially, you know, the foreplay in the heterosexual world was to get the woman all wet, right? And so in our world, it's kind of like, oh, well, that doesn't happen. Just stick the fucking thing right in. and the reality is that's right. There is no lubrication there. So we have to kind of work towards getting yourself to where you need to be able to accept.
Speaking though of lubrication, what's the best lube to use that's both, you know, non-toxic and healthy? And like, say you do have a fissure or something going on, or hemorrhoids, some lubes will burn or make you feel even more uncomfortable than you would in the process of inserting the cock, right? So what is a good alternative for something that's positive for the anus, I guess?
There's no answer to that either. I mean, I think it really depends. There's people that love silicone and it has positives and negatives versus water-based stuff versus kind of the new, like an Uber lube is organic. People react to everything differently. Mm-hmm. I think that one, if you have burning on application and there's an active fissure or hemorrhoid, you probably shouldn't be bottoming.
Yeah.
I think that so that's one thing. Unless he's really worth it. And you say, fuck it, I'm going to bleed and I'll...
I thought he was. Don't bring that up. Jesus Christ.
So let me ask you, medically,
what is wrong with Trish?
Well, no, we don't have the time for that. We don't even have the time to cover that subject. Medically, from a medical perspective, what is better, silicone or water-based?
It depends on what you're using. So like, again, if you're using a toy that is silicone, if you're using silicone lube, it can eat away at the toy.
Okay.
So it's very variable. So like water-based is really great, but the problem is that it's messy and it doesn't stay in one spot. So what winds up happening is that it just kind of gets all over the place. It feels runny and just people don't like that sensation, whereas silicone stays more contained and it really lasts a long time. Most lubes, no matter what, are not the greatest for the cell type that we're using it for. It dehydrates. So a lot of people get a lot of mucus. They got a lot of cell death or kind of cellular trauma that's there from any lubricant, just because it kind of sucks out the water and kind of injures some of the cells that's there. So again, I wish I had the right answers because nobody really studies lubricants and gaze that much, you know, to be honest. So I think it's more of figuring out what works best for the scenarios that you're in, and then trying to, you know, stay true to a brand that doesn't cause irritation externally, doesn't burn you, and is able to keep you active the time that you need it to be.
Now, stupid question. What about spit?
Don't do spit.
You see that, guys? If you're eating someone out, go to the lube.
That's exactly
Don't assume it's nice and wet and you can just shove it in.
Okay, hold on, time out, because you've been slamming me all day because you're the one that's always like, I just spit on it.
That's like Brokeback Mountain style.
That is exactly
Brokeback. And it's going to be Broke Ass Mountain after that, but yeah, sure.
That's exactly it.
My God.
People love the spit. You know, people love the spit. They love butter. I mean, they love oil, like coconut oil.
Crisco.
You know, you know, it's like Crisco. It's all that stuff. I mean, it's, you know, it's not good. It's not good.
Well, and you heard it here. So make sure that you guys, you know, do what you got to do. Do your due diligence and make sure that you are safely engaging your partners so that you don't hurt each other and that you enjoy each other and have a really good time doing it.
Unless he's totally worth it.
And then, doctor's orders.
And if he's totally worth it, then, you know, afterwards, just go see Dr. Evan Goldstein.
If he's totally surgical. Worth it, I usually ask when I'm talking to people, was it worth it? And a lot of times the answer is absolutely, I'd fucking do it again.
Yeah, no, that's kind of how I feel. It's true.
Well, on that note, Dr. Evan Goldstein, thank you. Thank you, because you know what? Every time you come on the show, we get a good laugh. We get a lot of very, very good information that anyone who listens to the show, really, even women, could benefit from.
Speaking of which, from top to bottom, last week was amazing. All that information about STDs, getting that out there. I was like, what the hell? Had no idea. Okay. So that was an amazing segment. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
I'd like to remind our listeners, we're doing one of these, Tales from the Tail, every month with Dr. Evan Goldstein. And we're also doing From Top to Bottom, which is basically a 5-minute segment that sort of kind of highlights an issue or an area where you can, you know, either have extreme pleasure, you're describing what, you know, one can go through. It's important tidbits of information that can really enhance your sexual productivity, your sexual experience.
Awesome. And remember, I'll plug, I got a great team, MMLPR and Greg Lamb, who runs my whole brand. Everybody's so awesome. And so thank you. But with that said, Instagram, Facebook, everything, all of our social channels has a lot of information and keeps everybody bottoming.
Absolutely. And if you want to check them out on social media, it's at Bespoke Surgical on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Awesome, guys. So, I look forward to the next.
As do we, trust me. And so does Jack. Anyway.
And read tomorrow the Medium Loose article.
I totally will.
We don't need to read it. She's walking.
I'll read it.
Dr. Goldstein, thank you so much for joining us once again, and we're looking forward to the next installment next month.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Bye.
Have a great time.
So, bye-bye.
All right, so that was Dr. Evan Goldstein. I'll tell you something. I don't know how many more of these I can go through without just, like, proposing. Not only is he handsome.
I'm pretty sure he's married.
I don't care. Mm-hmm. I can still propose. He can decline. Decline, decline, decline. Like my credit cards. Anyway. No, but seriously, I mean, he's a very handsome man. He's got his little doctor's lab coat on, right?
His little doctor's, like it's a play thing.
Yeah, it's cute. And yeah, his fingers. I'm going down to the practice. I got something stuck in there. Good luck finding it.
search around for a while.
You can see his hand come out your throat.
Oh my God. We had him cracking up. We were all dying too, though. That was hilarious.
It was. It's one of the best Tales from the Tale that we've had. Well, it's the second one. Yeah. But yeah. No, but
you guys literally, like, if you're not following him or if you're not following his blog, you should. And yes, I know I'm terrible. I didn't read the whole thing. But let me tell you, just the first half
had me in stitches.
I mean, you heard those little quotes. Like, they're hilarious.
Yeah, they are.
But they're also, like, really important and informative.
I just really enjoyed him just, like, literally throwing you under the bus. That was amazing.
I think he's getting a little comfortable.
And you know what? You're more than welcome, Dr. Evan Goss.
But I have opened up to him a little bit. Probably a little bit too much, especially because it's mostly on air.
No, but the thing is, you know, you're prepping yourself to be able to go see the great doctor and be able to be in his company and be able to have some services done. So that's important. You have to develop that sense of trust and that sense of being able to really joke at what it is that, because like you said...
Who knows? I may be a tale from the tales.
Oh, honey. He would have a freaking book. It would be a bestseller. Trust me. But anyway, so before we went on break and before we brought Dr. Evan Goldstein on, we had Chris tell us a little bit about his story. And Nick really didn't get anything in during the first segment. So
I didn't prepare.
I just do want to say something. I found out that I have insurance for the rest of the year. So who knows? Maybe I'll get adventurous.
Oh, yeah.
What are you trying to say? Your butt's not ready or not in a good place?
Well, if anything happens, I have insurance. So we're good for the rest of the year.
Yes. That being said, Nicholas, what do you got for us
today? They give you about 20 seconds to get ready.
I honestly don't. I mean, okay, so I'm horrible. I have a lot going on at work right now, and I did not have time to prep for the show today. So I'm just going to throw a visibility moment out there.
Okay.
For everybody. So
I love it.
Abby Jacobson from Broad City. I don't know if y'all watch it.
No.
It's a hilarious show. I believe it's on Netflix. It's about a half hour long each episode. It's about these two girls and their lives and their stoners. It's hilarious. It's funny, whatever. But anyway, she came out. She came out as a lesbian. So that's super
amazing.
Exciting. She's her attraction to multiple genders. Sorry. Not a lesbian.
That's okay.
Well, she said, I'm kind of nervous that people will be thinking it's a comedy and they will be thrown. What? But I don't understand that quote. But that's what she said.
Hello.
Anyway, so that's what I really brought to the table today. Sorry, guys. That's all I got for you today. I had my soapbox earlier and a little bit of visibility for you there.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. That's all we can ask of you, Trish.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing more, nothing less. So, you know...
I will cut you.
Oh, these two. I can't. So how are the cocktails?
They're good.
They're good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. These bitches both made themselves one and just left me high and dry, but that's okay.
A little passive aggressive.
Yeah, I love them either way, but you know, I want to go back to last week's episode. You guys really, really killed it, and I want to thank you guys for, you know, just doing what you do, and also, you know, allowing me to take a break. That was the first time I was ever gone from the show.
Yeah, that was the first time you ever left the show.
Ever.
Hold on, I want to go back a little bit because I just found the quote that I was actually supposed to read.
She's like, thanks, Tom.
Jacobson says, I kind of go both ways. I date men and women. They have to be funny, doing something they love. I don't know. I've never really been interviewed about this before. Yeah, who knows? The world's my oyster.
but still,
it's great visibility and we can go back to you praising us, Tom.
That's amazing. It's amazing. So you guys are amazing.
Abby Jacobson gets claps. More visibility.
So when are we having Meg back on the show? Because now I want to be able to sit in the room with this woman. Hi, Meg.
I don't know. We haven't figured that out yet.
We're never back on before the summer.
She had a couple of people listening in. I hope you're listening now because Chris said, I hope you listen when Meg's not here.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
We're going to have them back on before the summertime because we want to talk about some P-Town.
Some P-Town things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. P-Town has a lot of really good things that are happening that happen year round. A lot of people don't realize the Portuguese festival happens, Carnival happens, obviously Bear Week. You've got Splash. You've got so many weeks. And what they do is they theme their week. So throughout the entire summer, you're really going up and just doing like different things.
But the irony of what the things you were naming is we left out the thing that she wants to come back on, which is like the girls' week.
Yeah,
a splash.
It's not splash.
It's called Girl Splash. I thought it was.
I think it is called Girl Splash.
Yeah, actually. It's the week after Bear Week.
It is. That is.
So I got a true story. So I go up to P-Town for Bear Week all the time. And so I'm always joking that right as we're checking out on Saturday or Sunday, depending on how long you stay, if you want to stay the whole weekend, maybe you check out Monday, you just see a whole slew of like Roto-Rooter trucks just literally coming in. The commercial streets loaded with like plumbers and God knows what not. Because all that hair from all the bears are like clogging like the filters for the pools and the showers and God knows what not. So they've got to clean it all up so that the women can have a good time. It's true.
Never mind.
No, go for it.
Nope.
Why?
No, we're good. I think my laptop's about to crash.
So, I forgot about something that I actually was really, really awesome.
Okay, well, tell me.
So, we talk about Brazil all the time. And what's going on in Brazil.
I know what you're
going
to say.
We do.
Yeah?
Yep.
What am I going to say?
Is it about transgender murder?
No.
Oh, it was a good thing. Okay,
it's a good thing, yeah.
No, okay, good. I'm sorry.
I can't.
I should have interrupted.
Maybe it is.
Go ahead.
Whatever. Anyway, so Dan Reynolds from Imagine Dragons.
Uh-huh.
So at his concert in Brazil, Lollapalooza, Brazil,
uh-huh,
he came out waving a rainbow flag to support the LGBTQ community.
I've always loved that band.
He's amazing.
He
identifies as straight and cisgender, and he's doing so much work for the LGBTQ community.
He does, and he has been for years.
We've talked about him on the show before.
We have.
But wasn't it about like a comment that he made that wasn't good?
Well, I mean, obviously somebody always makes mistakes, but you know, for the most part, he's always been at the forefront of being accepting,
mm-hmm,
you know, in some way, shape, or form. And you know, people always got their stupid little comments here and there. Like, you know, we call each other gay bitches all the time. And so we come out of, I don't think that it came out of a place of hate, if that makes any sense. And I'm not defending him, but he does do good for the community.
I don't know what he said that was negative.
I don't remember.
Christopher is the one that had that story at that point in time.
Well, in this article, he said, to accept does not simply mean to love. Reynolds argued it means to give true validity and fully embrace and support diverse sexual orientations and do not see one's sexuality as incorrect or sinful. Love is an empty word otherwise.
Well, and that has a lot of truth to it because, you know, one can easily say, I'm not homophobic, I'm not racist, I'm not misogynistic. But, you know, if you do nothing to help this community or that community, then you're being complicit in the fact that, you know, you are.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we've talked about, you know, Brazil. They're currently billed, and they're often billed as the world's largest LGBTQ offender. There's been over 445 LGBTQ Brazilians that have died directly due to homophobia and transphobia, mm-hmm, last year.
And a large portion of that group were members of our transgender community.
So 387 were murders and, mm-hmm, 58 suicides. So that's appalling.
It is.
And so he's just, him standing up there in Brazil with a rainbow flag is, I mean,
it sends a message.
Well,
it's
like, you're not alone. We exactly. love you and we're here for you and you should be supported and you're not supported. And it was just powerful to me, and I can't believe I even forgot to bring this up.
Well, there was another thing I saw today that I thought you were going. There was a trans woman who was murdered in Brazil last year, and five people were sentenced to prison time, were charged with the crime and sentenced to anything ranging from, I believe, 12 to 21 years imprisonment for the murder of this person. So obviously 12 years, 16, 20 years, not enough for murdering someone, but some justice was served on behalf of this woman.
You know what's crazy is, remember my soapbox earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody remembers my soapbox. One of his quotes in this article, I should quote the article, who it's by. So it was by Robbie Couch, and this is from upworthy.com. But this, he says, and it like ties perfectly into what I was saying in the beginning of the show, to be gay is, excuse me, to be gay is beautiful and right and perfect. to tell someone they need to change their innermost being is setting someone up for an unhealthy life and an unhealthy foundation. That is exactly what I was saying earlier. Mm-hmm. You are beautiful. You are right. You are perfect. And you have everything in the world to give.
And all you have to do is just find it sooner than later and, mm-hmm. and run with that.
Well, find it when you find it, but don't destroy yourself over something that you don't quite understand yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Take your time and learn who you are and learn to love yourself and love every part of yourself, including your homosexuality.
Yeah, but it's kind of hard to do when people are, you know, bringing you down for it.
And 445 people are being murdered around you.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
All right. So I have one little story I want to talk about, and this story is brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
Wait, it's not really brought to you?
No, this is really brought to you by UnicornBooty.com. So our good friend Daniel Villarreal, who we've had on the show to cover certain stories if he's written for the network, is writing about an article which is very interesting about men who are suing the American government because they're being forced, or because men are currently the only ones that are being forced to actually register for selective services or for the draft. And women, although they're now allowed to be in active combat, are not being told to do so or are not being forced to do so. So basically, he noted in the article, all American men ages 18 to 25 are required by law to register with Selective Services so that if the United States enters a war, they will participate as part of the military draft. And though the draft hasn't been used since 1973 for the Vietnam War, the last week, a federal judge ruled that a nonprofit group called the National Coalition for Men, or the acronym NCFM, can challenge the Military Selective Services Act. And it says here, the law that makes the draft possible on grounds that selective services system is sexist, requiring only men to sign up and not women. And it's an interesting point because, you know, when you think about women in active combat, right? They've wanted this. They've wanted to be able to actively be able to serve their country to its full capacity. And we applaud them for it. And I think it's a beautiful thing. You know, women have the right to be able to make that choice for themselves if they want to actively, you know, go into the military and serve our country. But now we really need to think about all these laws that typically only apply to men. And how does that now transcend into women having to sign up for selective services? Because there's a lot of things that come with that. For example, when I decided to go back to college, I had skipped, you know, most of my high school years. I dropped out. I had to go back 10 years after the fact when I should have graduated. And going and get my diploma. And then when I signed up for college, one of the questions that I was asked was, why didn't I sign up for selective services when I was between the ages of 18 to 25? And I said, one, because I never knew I'd had to, right? And two, you know, I didn't think college was really going to be an option for me. So then when I did apply, I got denied federal funds and federal loans because I never signed up for selective services.
Well, there's also the element too. At the time when you would have needed to sign up, you would have had to hide who you are to be drafted. You could, like, don't ask, don't tell. You would have had to put yourself in a situation which I'm sure you probably weren't comfortable with. You were out and proud at that point.
I could have said I had bone spurs. I mean, our president did it. Right? No, but the thing is that there are a lot of implications of that there's a lot of services that you could actually be denied for not being able to sign up for selective services. And if we think of it being fair at this point, now that everyone is able to actually actively participate in active duty, I think that it should be only fair that everyone be forced to, at this point, register for selective services.
And there are nations that do that. Israel, it's mm-hmm. mandatory that all men and women must serve. I believe it's 3 years.
I think it's only a year.
Is it only a year? Okay, I might be wrong with the timeline, but I'm pretty positive that both men and women are forced to serve in the armed services.
So, I mean, and again, this is something new, and obviously...
It's going to take time.
Of course, but they have a valid point, and I think that, you know, for the sake of giving everyone the equal respect and the equal dignity that they deserve, that they all equally be treated the same way and be required to...
Well, that's interesting, because in Israel, the normal length is 2 years and 8 months for men.
So almost 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on
with some roles requiring an additional 4 months.
Is she trying to correct you?
And 2 years for women.
2 years for women, yeah.
So it's less for women, mm-hmm. which is interesting.
It is. I mean, they still have to serve. Right. But
Tom is bringing up a equality point, so.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, they have grounds to stand on for this challenge to this act.
Interesting.
So it's out there. If you guys want to read it, you can go to Hornet.com or UnicornBooty.com and look for Daniel Villarreal. He writes a lot of great stories for the network. And, you know, I read a lot of them. I'm always on UnicornBooty.com. You know, it's why wouldn't I be?
I mean, they are one of our sponsors.
Yeah, not really. But, and so that's it. So why don't we... push our way over to wrapping up the show and going into our two segments that we always do before we close. So, Christopher.
Can I ask something first?
Yes.
I want to ask our listeners. I'm doing a paper for English class, and ooh. I'm going to be conducting some interviews, but I also kind of want to do a survey, and I wanted to reach out to some of our listeners. So, if anyone would be interested in sending us an email, and you can send it to our email and personalize it to me. I want to hear people's opinion on the idea of why we should not touch the Second Amendment or why we should repeal the Second Amendment. I want to hear people's thoughts on that. I have an interest paper that I have to write in the next month, and I would love some input from people, from our listeners. So anyone, send us an email, please.
And you chose that topic?
I'm talking about gun control.
Lord have mercy, you are crazy.
I could write like a trillion pages. It's a great topic to take on.
Well, that's true. So there's a lot of very relevant current resources available out there. But sure. You know, and one of the interesting things that I would like to see is see what the thought process is, not only by Americans here in the U.S., but like our fellow Canadians, people maybe in Australia, and countries that have outlawed.
Everybody from Australia or Canada would be like, you guys need to fix the fucking problem. End of story. Fix the fucking problem.
Three sentences. Done. No, but it'd be interesting to see.
I don't think that the amendment should be repealed. Reformed, yes. Repealed, no.
I'm not putting my opinion out there right now. I just wanted to hear. I want to see the arguments that can go on both sides of it.
Maybe we'll put your paper on our website when you're done with it and it's graded.
We'll see.
What do you think, Trish?
I don't give a shit.
All right. Well, anyway, so as Christopher said, he's soliciting information, he's soliciting ideas, and what do you call those? Opinions.
Opinions, yes.
Yeah. Give your opinion, send it to gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Attention, Chris, like most of the emails that we get.
Also, I'm going to reach out to our Dallas or our Texas listener who is going to be going to Germany soon. I'm going to send you an email. We did not forget about you.
I'm proud of you. Oh, now he's trying to throw us under the bus.
All right, I'm going to say one more thing before we close it out.
Go. Of course she is.
No, I just want to say, like, we're all addressing the listeners. Reach out to us about our new segments. I want to hear your feedback. I want to hear if you have questions, if you want to engage Dr. Goldstein.
Absolutely.
I would really love some feedback. We get so much, and I haven't heard much from our listeners about what they think about our new segment on Facebook a little bit, but send us an email.
Yeah, definitely. Like, especially this episode, I swear that was one of the best, funniest interactions that I've had in a very long time with a human being. And I think Dr. Evan Goldstein is amazing. Mm-hmm. So,
and for anyone who wants to engage Dr. Evan Goldstein, just remember, get in line behind Tom.
Exactly. I will cut everyone. All right. So why don't we go into our gay talk term for this week, Nicholas?
Okay. This week's gay talk term brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
Yes, it is. is Grand Canyon.
Oh, like your ass? Okay, go ahead.
How did she know? It's actually perfect for what we were talking about with Dr. Goldstein earlier. I'm making so many connections today. Yay. Grand Canyon, loose-fitting anus. As complained by an active partner, talk about the Grand Canyon. Her ass is as wide as the natural wonder itself.
Jack fell right in.
How the hell did Paul get into that book?
Synonym, Lincoln Tunnel. Oh, my God. So this week's Skate Talk term is Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon.
All right. And Christopher?
So we're going to go into On This Day in Gay History, brought to you, of course, by
UnicornBooty.com.
And I have to try to say a name, so we will try this.
This is a good name.
We're going to try.
It's not a food. Just saying.
I think I'm going to pronounce it that way, by the way. On This Day in Gay History, April 9th, 2008, in South Korea, during South Korea's April 9th, 2008 elections, Choi Hyun-suk became South Korea's first openly gay candidate for national public office when she ran for a seat in the National Assembly of South Korea. Her bid was unsuccessful, but it's interesting because I've been doing some research about gay rights in South Korea, and it's really not the most accepting place for homosexuality. Mm-hmm. I believe it's actually still criminalized. The very old mindset I was reading today that a statistic over 50% of South Koreans that were polled think homosexuality is wrong. So that's something I'm definitely going to look into more after reading today's fact. But that was your fact for today in gay history.
All right. Well, we've got some announcements. And as usual, if you love the show, you can help us in one of three ways: to let others know about the show and ensure it becomes more visible in the podcasting community. You screwed the shit up, by the way, last week.
I know.
I love it.
But I fixed myself.
I did. You did. All right. So you can do one of the three following.
Oh, shit.
That's right.
The first one is you can subscribe to the show. By doing so, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episode is published. The second one is you can rate and review our show. You can do so on iTunes, on the Apple Podcast app, on Google Play Music for our Android listeners.
That's what I looked up. On Google Play Music for our Android listeners. Oh, no. Google Play Music for our Android listeners.
As well as Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Podbean, and all your favorite podcasting apps. And, of course, you can support us on Patreon, which is a service that allows you, our listener, to help to support the show with a pledge donation. Donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Chris?
And next week, we welcome Davis Mallory back to the show to talk about his latest single, Dance With Me. Make sure to tune in for that.
Yes, it's amazing. We played it during our break today.
Yeah, we did.
And thank you, thank you, thank you to our one and only doctor guest, Dr. Evan Goldstein,
Dr.
G, for joining us once again for this month's Tales from the Tale. You can check out this and many more stories on his blog at medium.com. So that's medium.com/@Dr. Evan Goldstein. Follow the good doctor on social media at Bespoke Surgical. That's at BESPOKE Surgical on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Yes, Trish, I'm very proud of you.
Thanks.
Surely. Can we put a rubber on this, please?
Yes. Hard-ons and wide-ons!
Hard-ons and wide-ons!
I died when you said that last week. I almost fell off my couch.
Alrighty, guys. As always, guys and gals, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces, you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at GayTalk20. You can email us at GayTalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
Nick doesn't take it away. Anyway, if you
Nick
need
doesn't
to
announce. Anyway.
That too. No, I'm saying because you said that last week.
I know.
I'm going to cut her. Anyway, if you need to reach out to us, you can head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser, where you can leave comments. Oh my God, last week.
Suggest
topics.
I nailed it.
You did. Bullshit. Proud of you.
Submit questions for the cast. Submit questions for an individual host. You can also call us and leave us a question via voice message. We can answer your questions on the show. You can just call 334-GAY-TALK. Those numbers are 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream on digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.